I'm Laura.
And I'm Georgiana.
And this is De Canterbury Tales.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Book Banter. I'm Raina from Blue Cypress Books. This evening, I'm pretty excited because I am talking to the hosts of the De Canterbury Tales podcast, which is a podcast with wine and books, and they are hilarious and give great recommendations. So this evening, we're going to be talking about all of our favorite books and maybe give you some recommendations. If you have any questions or somebody you'd like a book recommendation for, type it in the comments, and we will give you those, answer those questions in real time during the event. So without further ado, I want to welcome Georgiana May and
Hello.
Laura Antoon.
Hi, everybody. How are you?
Hi. I'm so glad y'all could join me for Book Banter this evening. This is going to be so much fun.
Oh, we're so excited. We talk books all day, every day. And so now that we get to do it publicly, it's a dream come true.
Absolutely.
How long have you guys been doing your podcast?
So we started in 2021, January, but the idea kind of started maybe 5 years ago. Laura and I went to PJ's on Magazine Street, back courtyard, if you know, you know, where dreams come true. And we started trying to think of a name. We were thinking a video show, couldn't think of a thing. Walk out, take a left on Octavia Street. Laura literally reaches up to the sky, hits the ground, and says, "De Canterbury Tales." And so finally, years later, we were like, pandemic, let's do it.
Right? So you were here in New Orleans when you gave birth to De Canterbury Tales.
Of course.
Love it.
She's a NOLA baby at heart.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just like, I guess it was fate that you had a booth at the Mississippi Book Festival, and I was like, this will be brilliant. So I'm glad that you guys agreed to join me for Book
Absolutely. Banter. We're so happy to be here. And I know the bookstore, she knows the bookstore. We're like, these are our people, we must.
I love it. So when you got the idea for De Canterbury Tales, like, did you have it? And this is like purely like a selfish question, because I've had the idea of a book of doing a bookish podcast before, but it's you start with this like seed of an idea, and then you're like, oh, it becomes kind of overwhelming. So you all have a not a pattern, but yeah, like a pattern. You have different segments that you do. Did you start out with like knowing that was how it was going to be, or like how did you figure out the little segments that you wanted to do?
So I would say that the segments kind of came to be, we always knew we were going to have a wine segment and then obviously a book segment, and hopefully that we would have been able to secure authors. So we found out pretty quickly that authors were pretty happy to join us. We haven't gotten all of them that we've picked, but we get a fair enough that, you know, I feel like we have like a 75% success rate of being able to get authors on the show. And so some of the segments have kind of developed, like we always have now, I think all season, second season, we've had a reading, watching, and listening to, which kind of was birthed out of on just what we were talking about and what we were doing, what we were, other things outside of just what we were covering on the show. And that kind of became something that people enjoyed listening to us. And I had, when we were still on Twitter, we had someone comment like, are there any podcasts where y'all talk about stuff outside of just like the one book that you're covering? And I was like, we do. We talk about stuff that we're, you know, watching on TV or music or podcasts or stuff like that. So that kind of all came about a little more naturally and a little bit more organic. But the plot synopsises came out of a reader or a listener suggestion, because they were like, look, I have no desire to read XYZ book, but I still want to listen to the podcast, so can you just ruin the plot for me? So now we get to the part where we, you know, we have a little part now that's just plot spoilers or plot synopsis, just so that if you don't intend on reading the book or just need a refresher, we fill that in too. So Georgiana usually does a fun dramatic reading of a popular review or synopsis.
You know, you got to get theatrical with it. If you're reading just blah, 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 then nobody's going to want to join you. But if you pick a nice racy review, then people want to join. So got to go for it.
I love that you, this new segment where you're like, spoiler alert, like pause if you're not into it. But if you are, here we go. Like, I'm going to tell you all about it. And often at the bookstore, you find that same thing. You're like, are you ever going to read this? No. Okay, good. Because I really need to tell someone what's happening. Like, and I don't want to spoil it for you, but some people are just, that's not the book for them, but I still need to get this off my chest.
I was leaving work and one of my coworkers had told me she had started reading Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, had never finished it. And I was like, we did an episode on it. I love it. I have it. Do you want it? And she's like, yes, bring it to me. Do not spoil it for me. If you spoil it for me, I'm going to be so mad. She's like, this is my Christmas break. I was like, here, I will not ruin it for you.
Yeah.
So, and in spirit, I started reading Daisy Jones and the Six just to be on a TJR kick with her.
Nice.
I love Daisy Jones.
Everybody says that one is just fantastic, and I've been wanting to read it, but as all book lovers do, there's a new one, and so you put it off, you put it off, you put it off, and so I was like, it's the end of the year, we're gonna just read what I want to read, and that means an oldie.
There you go.
Ish. Ish.
Yeah, I have a, like, my family were musicians, my dad and my mom. And so when I'm reading books like that, I'm a sucker for anything like that, where you're with the band, in the band, following the band, like any of that. Especially, like, I read a lot of nonfiction biographies and such, like of musicians and things, but fiction, because in my life, when my mom and dad are telling the stories, like, they're part fiction. Right. I mean, they're stories that don't include me. So you're like hearing the story. And so when I'm reading fiction, I'm into it. Like, publisher reps and everything, they know, like, there's some of them, they're like, okay, you know, she's going to read this. Like, it's going to happen. The Songs of Ursa Minor, I read. Did you guys read that?
I've not read that. No, but I've seen it.
It's in the same. Yeah. And it's in the same vein where it's a woman and she is. The band ?
Okay.
And I really love that one too. It came out in paperback at the beginning of this summer.
Add to cart.
Yes, exactly.
Add it to our video. We are.
Yeah, right. The ever growing. I have a 3-shelf bookshelf that is my TBR. And I made a rule earlier this year that they all have to fit on that. So sometimes I bring home books that are like collectible or like it has such a cool retro cover, but yeah, so like that I'm like, oh, I'm going to keep this anyway. Yeah. Nice. So it doesn't have to go on the TV or so.
Yeah. I told myself my cart, you know, had to be up and down. If it didn't fit in the cart, I couldn't have it. But then I was like, well, there's this, all of this space right above the books. And so I can lay them this way on top.
That counts.
Thank you. I'm glad that's validated, because yes. I was having some questions about myself.
So I can give you one step further. So I have the vertical ones and then a couple of horizontal. And then on the shelf, if I can make one lean in front of the spines, counts. It's on the shelf. It's on the bookcase. It counts.
Okay, so there's room to grow, you're telling me.
Room to grow, yes.
Fantastic.
You're just going to like jerry-rig like a hammock on the side and be able to...
You know, that's not a horrible idea. If you could get like a string, you know, that goes in front of it, then you can let them lean out a little bit. You could fit a few more in every shelf out there. Yeah, I mean, you got to do what you got to do.
Book nerds, y'all.
All right, so do you guys have a favorite book you read this year?
We have multiple.
Do you have top ones?
Yes.
Okay.
We made our own top 5 lists separately and like didn't talk about them. And then we both took, they're on our Instagram now, DeCanterburyPod. if you're on the Instagrams. And they're both posted on our Facebook as well, is Georgiana's top five and my top five. And then I had a bonus six because I couldn't not have one. So, but yeah, so we both have kind of our top five for the year that we've read, and not all of them covered.
And two of them we agreed on as favorites. So I guess we should start with those.
Nice. Without consulting each other ahead of time. Those were just on the list.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Remarkably Bright Creatures by Shelby Van Pelt. And then When Women Were Dragons.
Okay, I haven't read that one yet, but Leanna, our manager, read it and loved it.
So good. So good. I read it and I just, you know, when you finish a book and you're just like, this is important. Like, I'm really glad I read this book. Mm-hmm. And it's not just like, it wasn't just entertaining. It wasn't just a good story. It was like, this needs to be part of a conversation that we've been having regarding women and our roles, what it means to be a woman and what is included in womanhood and what should be included in womanhood. And so it's, I just walked away and I was like, if you're a lady, if you identify as a lady, read it.
Yep.
There's and even some if books. You don't, like, read it so that you understand ladies and those who identify as lady.
Yeah. I think that is important. An important distinction and something that I strive for when selling books at the bookstore. Like, people are always asking you for recommendations, and it's really easy to fall into the girl book, boy book, man, woman book, whatever. It's just easy. I mean, without even trying, like without, you know, thinking about it too much, a person walks through the door and you have an idea of what they're going to ask you for. Really? Well, you can be completely off, but it becomes easy to start there. And so one of the challenges, like personal bookseller challenges I've been giving myself this year, is to kind of like, I'm always trying to give diverse books and make people read at least a little bit out of their comfort zone, but doing that straight up exchange, just like you said, like a man that reads John Grisham walks in the door and I'm all like, hey, have you heard of When Women Were Dragons? Like, maybe not go super, super far, but if I can get them over there, like, can I get you into an area that you aren't like normally reading? Because we all need to see the other perspective. We all do. Like,
and I think that's probably the funnest part about reading is being challenged. Mm-hmm. And even if you're not challenged, but putting yourself outside of your comfort zone, seeing a perspective that's not your own. And that's something that we really try to do. Somebody did point out that we don't read things from male perspectives. So we were like, okay. So we did have to start throwing some male perspective in there. But nobody wants to read every single book that is exactly like themselves. If they see them, that's boring. At least for me. If it's not for you, I encourage you to try not reading about people that are just like you.
Yeah. I mean, even if you like, if you are the type of person who find yourself always reading the same type of book, even if it's just the same type of book, even if that type of book isn't necessarily your life or what you see in the mirror, like start with one or two books a year. Like, go, okay, in 2023, I'm going to read at least three books that are don't look like me in any way. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. That's an amazing place to start. That's all it takes, just a little bit.
Cross genre, move in. If you're like a rom-com lady at heart, try a horror, try a thriller, try a bit of nonfiction. Why not? It's the worst thing that can happen is you hate it and you read 100 pages in and you quit.
Mm-hmm. I mean, okay. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay to DNF. Mm. It did not finish. That is absolutely okay. Took me a long time to get there. Took me a long time to get there. And sometimes even now I have to go, well, do I dislike it enough to quit? Is this just, why is this hard for me? Reading should be fun. Even if it's for work, even if it's for whatever, it should be like, I should be enjoying myself. And if you're not, it's okay.
Yeah, I remember reading Anxious People by mm-hmm. Frederick Backman, and great book, but it made me feel very anxious when I was reading it. And I had to break it up into two pieces, and everybody loved the book, rave reviews, but I was like, this is not serving me in this moment. Pause, come back, mm-hmm. no harm, no foul. And I eventually finished it, but in that moment, I was like, I need something that's not going to make my heart palpitate out of my chest and make me start worrying about my own anxieties. So
exactly.
Time and a place.
And like you said, sometimes it's just, yeah, it's just not the right time. Mm-hmm. And that's cool. Just put it on the shelf, put the bookmark in it, put it on the shelf and revisit it later. Give it a shot.
Then- yeah, I apologize for moving. I'm still, if you listen to the show, you know that I have a foster failure kitten. And he doesn't want to either be in here or not in here. So if you heard meowing a lot of it, he just wants to be heard. So apologies for having to get up and get back down and move around. But if you hear meows, it is Chicken Nugget infamously making sure he's heard on everything we do. So
that is hilarious and amazing. I have two cats and a dog, and they can get in here. There's a little hole in... like one of the panes of glass in the French doors is broken, so they can come through. Most of the time they don't, but sometimes they do. And when they do, right here, there's nothing. There's so much stuff on this desk. If they come up to the desk, it would be a so much bigger scene to like try and get them off the desk. So you just gotta live with it.
Roll with it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so those were your first two. What's your next one? Oh, this is where you diverge. Ooh.
This is where we diverge. I really like two of the ones she picked too. Tomorrow and Tomorrow.
I haven't read that one either.
I loved it. First of all, I love the cover. I always mm-hmm. mispronounce it. It's the wave painting, the Great Wave of Kanagawa by Hokusai. Loved it. That's what got me. And then it's got the colors written on it. It reminded me a lot of The Idiot by Alif Bouton. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so really loved that one. It was a beautiful book. Just the way it wove and time. And I don't know anything about video games yet. Now I'm like all excited about how to make a video game. Sign of a great book if you want to pick up a new hobby after reading it. Mm-hmm. But I read The Idiot and I left. I was like, I feel stupid after reading this book. It was way too smart for me. Tomorrow and Tomorrow, I also felt really stupid after reading it. It felt way too smart for me. But I was very grateful for it. And mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess I like to be just like knocked down a peg when I read some books.
Well, and it sounds like you were inspired too. Yeah. So like you might not know anything about video games and you feel maybe a little stupid in that aspect, but you're inspired and that's different.
Mm-hmm. You know? And it was one of those I had seen on shelves, on websites, and you're always, at least me, I'm always so nervous to buy those because what if I hate them? Mm-hmm. And I
have to tell someone or not.
Yeah, I have to probably keep my mouth shut.
Right.
Because people will come at me. But I was so pleasantly surprised that it lived up to such hype. And it was awesome. And I'm so glad I read it. So.
Yay.
Where's the book?
All right, Laura, what was your next book?
Okay, so the next one that I have is Other People's Clothes by Calla Henkel. And it was such a good book. It was, I think, the first one of the season. I think I had two back-to-back where I picked and was just like, this is the book. And Georgiana just, like, went with me. And that one, we went kind of out on a limb as well and sent the author a direct message on Instagram and managed to catch her when she was stateside. So we didn't have to worry because she is – U.S. based, but is German transplant. So she's back and forth between Germany and the U.S. And so a lot of the story plays on her time living in Germany, and just we really just enjoyed that book. It is a wild ride. And I think I was about, you get about halfway through the book, and then all of a sudden it like flips and you're just like, wow, what am I reading? What is happening? And that was the point where I texted Georgiana and was like, you've got to get this book. And it was so fun to read. And that one was one that played a lot of, you know, you have kind of a true crime angle. It plays off the Amanda Knox story a little, and, you know, committing crimes in other countries and what that looks like and the media frenzy and all that. So really, really interesting. And I adored that novel. And then getting to talk to Cal Hinkle afterwards was really cool. Georgiana and I nerded out really hard. And we're like, we might start just like a little fan club, because she was so cool. Like, it's really weird when you talk to like authors and you're just sitting there like, they're just really cool people. And I'm just, yeah. But that was my next one, was Other People's Clothes.
That's a lot of fun. Like you said, just asking the authors and then having them say, yeah, sure, whatever, when's good date? And you're like, really? Like, you're just cool? Like, I don't need to vet myself more. Like, and, you know, and that's something I learned doing this. Like, we've been doing some form of book banter for close to over two years. And like, I started it very soon after the pandemic hit. Okay. And you start with like, you know, your friends. You're like, hey, you want to do this? Hey, you want to do that? And that lasts a few of 5-6 episodes. And then you gotta start like just cold emailing or you know, tweeting, Instagramming, whatever it is you're using, people. And I completely agree. Like, I've had maybe, I don't know that I've had anyone straight like, no, you know, a couple people that are like, I'm really busy right now or something, which could be a polite, what is she talking about? But we'll just pretend that they're very busy right now. But really, like, percentage wise, most people are like, yeah, let's see how we can make it work. And that is just amazing. Like when it goes from your friends to just you sending messages to somebody you liked their book, and all of a sudden you're like, they're talking to them and trying not to, like, how do I ask a question that isn't a question that everyone else has asked and doesn't sound super like crazy / nerdy? So like that fine line of interest and I'm not crazy, that's where we're all trying to hit.
Yes. There's a lot of research, a lot of YouTubing and reading that goes into interviewing people. And I don't know if people know that that's what you do, that's what we do. Before we have somebody come on, we are deep diving. We probably are going to ask them a question they've been asked before, and we know the answer to the question before they're going to answer it, because we've heard them. And it's really tricky to try to figure out something new, something fresh. And that's why we end up asking about their pets always.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Because everybody loves a fur baby. but it's terribly difficult to be, what's the word I'm looking for?
Original.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was such an easy one that just left my brain.
Surprising also how accessible authors are in a way that like directors for TV are not, or directors for film are not, like music artists are not accessible in the way that like a New York Times bestselling author that's like on the top of all the charts, we can send an Instagram DM and they'll respond.
Yeah.
What? Or they'll tell us to like reach out to their publicist, and typically they'll give their publicist a heads up to kind of schedule through them. The only one I think, outside of just being ignored by like, we did shoot our shot to try to get Kevin Kwan our very first season, LOL.
Hey, you know what? You got your name in there, and then when you come back around and just do it again. Next book, you're like, hey, what's up? And one of these times, they're going to be like, is that the same? Let me actually listen to this podcast now. Oh, okay, they're cool. You know, like it'll happen. Yeah. That's my theory, is that you're just putting your name out there, planting the seed, and eventually it'll come back.
Yeah, so that was going. The only one that we truly have gotten, like, an actual, like, no from is, and technically it wasn't a no, it was just a not about this book, is Kelly Barnhill is not accepting any interviews on When Women Were Dragons at all. That was, like, the auto response from her publicist was, like, mm-hmm. Kelly will accept press inquiries on, and it listed out all of the titles, and then, like, When Women Were Dragons were not on it. And I was, like, okay. So, and I will respect that, because I do know right around the time that we were reaching out about talking about that book was right around the same time, like, Roe v. Wade was being overturned and all this stuff, and about a book based on, like, really deeply women's rights and femininity and womanhood. I could definitely see her being like, nope, not talking to anybody about it. My book stands alone.
So, exactly. Yeah, just don't get into it. It's safer to just let it speak for itself. And you don't have to worry about it. I understand that for sure. Yeah.
And we're currently harassing is the wrong word, but it's kind harassment of one of my favorite books of the year, Jeanette McCurdy's I'm Glad My Mom Died. And
I wish you the best of luck with that.
Yep.
She heard our Instagram story.
She liked our Instagram story. She put it on her story. So that's as far as we've gotten acknowledgement, but I don't think we're going to get to talk to her. But God, that was a beautiful book. Did you read that one?
I did. And yeah. I didn't even, like, I wasn't necessarily an iCarly fan. I'm a little after iCarly.
Same.
Yeah. So I was like, so a couple other people at the bookstore had read it first, had listened to the audio first. And I was like, cool. I'm going to give it a shot. Everybody's talking about it. And oh my God, it just breaks your heart. And I just fall. When you go and like Google a teen drama from 20 years ago and watch a couple episodes, you know, something is real, you know, like it was a beautiful and heartbreaking book.
That was going on in the background and we had no idea. And just her strength. And I don't know if you watched her interview with Drew Barrymore on the Drew Barrymore show. But they had very similar experiences with their mothers. Mm-hmm. And they go in a really in-depth chat that was just like taking it to another level. And I love that book. And I lost my mom and that was not the relationship I had with my mom. But even as you're reading this heartbreaking story about everything that she experienced, all of the bad with her mom when she's with her mom in the hospital, that grief, that little mm-hmm. picture of just like, even all of this that she did, I'm still broken because she's my mom.
Yep.
And it's just like, oh, girl. Hit me with the emotion.
Mm-hmm. That's one you have to like it take a break from almost. I was listening to the audio and like between home and work, I was spent like mm-hmm. that little like 20 minute chunk. And I'm like, whew, I am glad I have made it to work now. Okay. I'm cool with getting out of the car. I'm loving it, but I need that break. Come mm-hmm. back, you know.
Yeah. The vulnerability, I just have to say thank you to her. So if you are listening, Jeanette McCurdy, thank you for your vulnerability.
Thank you.
Sincerely appreciated it.
For sure. And I'm still not finished it. I should finish it like today or tomorrow. So I can't, I'm only like a halfway through point, but it's a beautiful book. It is not
ruining it, but it's in the title.
Yeah, it's in the title. You had to know it was coming.
Yeah.
All right. Laura, what is your next one?
What is next? I did. Okay. Similar to Other People's Clothes, it's another best friend thriller. And we also got to talk to the author, which was super exciting, was We Were Never Here by Andy Bartz. And she is super popular on TikTok. She's now verified on Instagram. So congrats, Andy. But she got a lot of recognition with her fans and readership through just taking TikTok videos and being like kind of that like writing prompts and like helping other you know, authors or just people who want to start writing, giving them writing tips all through COVID and afterwards. And that book is fun. We read it over the summer, and it is a best friend thriller. And it just had so many moments where you're just like, oh, no. And that's just a fun book to read, is when you're just like, no, the twists, the turns. Is she crazy? Is she not crazy? Did she kill her mom? Did she not kill her mom? Like, the whole thing is just wild. And I just felt like that book was so fun, especially as a podcast of two friends that also like to travel. So, you know, and she's a big proponent of, you know, women's rights as well. So we did a lot of like lady power books this year, and I'm okay with it. And I guess our listeners are okay with it too.
Yeah. And that book, I remember it, that was one of my favorites of the year too. It just didn't make my top five. Sorry, Andy really loved it. I'm just going to tell everybody I'm really sorry. That was when I was highlighting quotes, and I don't actually highlight in the books, but I take pictures of them and then I highlight them on my phone. And I was like, okay, I need to like think about this quote. I need to dive a little deeper, think about where that, what this means to me. What does it remind me of? A lot of that book reminded, and she even puts it in there, is Fleabag. Women are born into pain is the whole thing. And once she put that in there, every other lady power book I found always somehow has a reference to women being born into pain, which is very interesting that she kind of put that connection right there. And then I was like, oh, it's in front of my face for ever now. So I really liked that book.
Yeah. I'm going to think about that now as I'm reading, but yeah, it's a thing that connects a lot of those books. Now that I'm thinking about it.
Yep.
There we go. All right. I don't know what number we're on. I don't know where we are now.
Yeah, I do want to double back eventually to Remarkably Bright Creatures, because I feel like we got really excited about When Women Were Dragons and we did not toot Shelby Van Pelt's horn as much as we should have. Read the book. It is a joy for your heart.
I cried.
Happy tears, not sad tears.
And just one single happy tear. That's what we always talk about. It's just one.
Just so good. And like sometimes books don't have to have all of these meanings and feelings and overthinking and underlying themes. And of course they're underlining themes in it, but they can just be a beautiful story. Mm-hmm. And that one is just a beautiful story with a talking octopus. So enjoy it.
We expanded our male, our listenership in general, but we are like season one, we had like 1% male listenership. And by the end of season two, I think we're up into like 12 to 13% of our listeners are male, which is huge for us. Given a lot of the big books that we choose tend to have a female point of view, cause that's what we enjoy to read. And so we've been trying to put it out, but this book specifically was one that had a lot of different points of views. And we specifically had several like male listeners send us DMs being like, I really enjoyed this book. So really nice to see that and really be able to reach out to several different demographics of listenership that have enjoyed that novel in general. And of course, Shelby Van Pelt is
a delight.
She's a delight. I think she had like just been on like Jenna and Hoda or something. Like she had just come off of like an interview with like major morning talk show people, and we're like, thanks for coming on our podcast.
And she has little wine glasses with octopuses on them. They're so cute.
That's adorable.
Yeah,
that's adorable.
And then I guess my final favorite was The Maid by Nita Prose, and that was again one of my one sitting reads. I could not move. I had to finish it. I used to work in hospitality, so I think the situation, I mean, I loved A Gentleman in Moscow just because hotel vibes, but just the dynamic of the setting there, but then her, you know, being on the spectrum, being taken advantage of, but how her brain made her incredible at what she did and her job. And, but then it ultimately was her downfall because people could take advantage of her because of it. But then she figures it out and stands up for herself and, you know, figures out who she is and who she wants to be and not to be walked all over. And I thought that that was the perfect blend of comedy, thriller, and but it also had something to say. And so, yeah, I loved that book. And I actually now work for a program for students with learning and developmental disabilities. And so I'm just like telling everybody in my office, you have to read this book. You have to read this book. You have to read this book. And they're like, okay, be quiet.
Right. Will it make you stop telling me that?
Okay. Yes, it will, but then we'll talk about it.
Right. Then you'll want to.
Right.
Right. So it works.
And that cover is really striking too. The red and the black.
Yes. Right. Those are some of my favorite covers. Like the more elaborate art covers can be very, very pretty, but some of the most striking ones that I will walk over to a shelf and be like, oh, what's this about? Are just those simple, those high contrast colors, simple images. And I'm like, okay, there's a story here. There's something. You're not hiding behind flowery, whatever. You got just, you're trying to tell me something. What are you trying to tell me?
Yep.
So I love that.
That is one of our quotes. We love a sexy cover.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Nothing makes us happier. And that's one of our things that we do say about the podcast. If you follow us, even if you don't like the book, we guarantee that your bookshelf will be beautiful.
You will have a very, very aesthetically pleasing bookshelf.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. And I think we're on to my last one.
I think so.
Yep.
Got it. Okay. So my last one, I actually put like two down because it was a tough one. One was one we did not cover on the podcast. It was Cackle by Rachel Harrison. And it is a short little book. It is like 200 something pages. And I was reading it and I was like, I got it during my Halloween book haul. I was like, spooky season time. I was very amped for spooky season. And I picked this one up. It was on like the Barnes & Noble, like book of the month pick. Yeah. And I was like, okay, it's teeny tiny. And I picked it up and I started it and I read it. I stayed up till like 4 a.m. because I could not. I was like, well, I only have like 10 pages. Like, I was only 2 chapters left. Only one left. Like, you know, you lie to yourself all night and all this. You're like, oh, I'll just stay up. It's midnight. Oh, no. I'll just stay up till like 1. And then all of a sudden the sun's coming up and you're like, finished. Which is basically what happened with this book. I could not put it down. It was, you kept expecting it to be a certain way and then it wasn't. And it would switch or flip or, you know, there would be something, every little twist and turn. And it was also just a delightful read. I had just attempted, and it is currently sitting as a DNF. I had started reading The Manning Tree Witches, which is probably a great book. But it is written like a thee, thou, thine, hast, which is a lot to devour. And I really was in a place where I did not want to work hard for my reading that day. And so this was a good one to kind of like re-motivate me to read a little bit more, because I was just kind of like in a dry spell after a minute because I was like, I cannot keep reading this book. My brain hurts. But... So Cackle was really, really fun and a quick read. And yeah, it was a good one. And then my kind of like bonus pick is Killers of a Certain Age by Deanna Rayborn, which was last month's book. We just interviewed the author like 2 weeks ago. And that was one that 2 chapters in, I was texting Georgiana and was like, this book is fun. This book is fun, and it's a good book, and it really is, it's a romp. It is just a really great book about retiring assassin ladies. It's like, what do you do with assassins when they turn 60? And
an ass, that's what they do.
And so that was just honestly, especially for people who love to travel, the descriptions of the locations was really great. There's great descriptors of New Orleans. Like in your mind's eye, you're like walking down these streets. If you're familiar with New Orleans, she nails it. And it's just such a fun book. And that was one that I just kind of was like, okay, I know we're supposed to pick five, but I picked six because I could not choose between Cackle and Killers of a Certain Age for different reasons, but both just because they were such fun reads. And sometimes it's just what you need. And that's something that there are so many times where I'm reading a book and I'm like, oh, how much longer? And that's not even that they're like not good. It's just that I just, my brain hurts and I don't want to, I just don't want to anymore.
There are just some books like that that just take, yeah, like you said, it's not like you did even dislike, you wouldn't give it a bad review. It's just like, I need something faster, like something that's moving. I don't feel like I'm going anywhere. I was being stagnant. So you're like, oh, I'll come back to it.
Yeah. I mean, I remember reading Hamnet by Maggie O'Farrell. Great book. Fantastic. Very high rating, but harder to read. And it took me a little bit longer to digest just because I'm not used to reading Old English every single day of my life. And doesn't mean it wasn't great, but just not if you're looking for a quick read. So
right. That one, I listened to the audio of that one, and it was definitely one where I was sort of like in and out of, and it was for book club, but I'm really glad it was, because then when I went to book club and everybody's talking about it and we, you know, we really like got into the book itself and what people like to dislike, I was like, okay, I like this book a lot better now that I've heard other views on it and we've like talked about it. Because if that had not been a book club book, if I just finished the audio and called it, we're done, I'd be like, it was fine.
Yeah,
it was fine. I'm not going to say anything bad about it, but it's fine. I can take it or leave it.
It wouldn't be your one that you would sit and recommend and talk about, but now that you broke it down, you're like, oh, it means so much more.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're coming to the end of our time. If you guys don't mind, I'm going to just quick lightning round my picks, because I really wanted to hear your guys' picks because I know what mine are. but we'll just lightning round mine. And I have a little stack, so it'd be a little bit easier. My top nonfiction for the year is actually short stories. It's Seven Empty Houses by Samantha Schweblin. And if you guys haven't read this, you should. It is absolutely my favorite book I read this year.
Regina, text that to me.
Okay, got it.
She's the author of Fever Dream, which is a novel, that came out like 10 years ago in Spanish, but it was just translated like 4 years ago or something. And that was my favorite book that year. And then she's had a couple of books in between, which I liked. But when I finished this one, I closed it and I got to read it a little early. So I read it like 3 or 4 months ago. And I was like, this is it. That was the one. That's going to be the one. And I'm just holding on for like 3 more months going, I hope I do read something good, but not good to beat this because like I loved it so much and nothing did. So it's still my favorite book of the year.
Yeah. Overall.
Yes. my favorite nonfiction book of the year is Brown Pelican by Ryan Fertel. It is super short. You would think, what do I need to know about the brown pelican? Agreed. However, I laughed. I mean, like in the first chapter, I'm like, oh, that's so sad. And also then like 2 pages later, laughed out loud. Because the first story that he tells like about, he was never really a bird watcher or anything like that. But the first bird he had any sort of relationship with was when his stepdad moved into the house with them and he was like 7 and he brought his like mean parrot with him. And so his first like thought of it, birds, like any sort of relationship with birds is this like awful parrot that he just like, he's like, oh God, my stepdad. And now I've got this bird and like, and it's just hilarious. And I'm like laughing out loud. I'm like, oh, I'm definitely finishing this book. Like I didn't know I needed to know about the brown pelican, but here we go. Best kids book, Also, everyone should read it. This is When Sea Becomes Sky. It doesn't actually come out till February, but I read it earlier this year, so I'm counting it. This is one of those ones where you think you know what's happening, and that's not what's happening at all. And I did not see the twist coming until like the sentence is happening and I'm reading the sentence. I'm going, oh my God. And then it is like, mm-hmm. I didn't see the twist coming at all. And I cannot wait for more people to read this so that I can talk to them about it and be like, oh my gosh, that moment. And it happens. And did you see it? It was crazy. But I truly loved that book.
What age range is that for?
I'm going to tell you what it says. What says middle grade fiction? That's what this says, middle grade fiction. I would say that an 8 or 9 year old good reader, okay. All the way. I mean, like I said, if the two of you read it, you would enjoy it. Like it's clearly a book for kids, but you would enjoy the story. It's really just incredibly well told. I would say all the way up until that you hit a teenager that doesn't like anything, mm-hmm. you know, whatever age that is for the individual.
We'll welcome them back when they are no longer teenagers.
Right. When they've come back around to reading after the teenage years, that you can recommend it again.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah. So I have a teenager. I'm intimately aware of that time frame. Galatea, I think that's how you pronounce it, by Madeline Miller. She wrote Circe and Song of Achilles.
Great book.
Another tiny little thing, great for an add-on gift, great for a little gift if you're not quite sure what to get and you think they might read. It's a retelling, again, of a Greek myth of a sculptor who sculpts his own wife. And okay. she comes alive, but this is told from the sculptor's point of view, from Galatea's point of view. Yeah. So the original is told from his point of view, and he's created this woman, and she's supposed to be perfect, and she's not. And what is he gonna do? And whatever. And this is told from her point of view.
I'm into it.
Yeah. Historical fiction, The Light of Luna Park, okay. Addison Armstrong. Addison Armstrong is originally from Baton Rouge. I think she lives in Nashville right now. She's teaching in Nashville. But this, I love, love, love the story. But this is one of those ones where when you Google the like historical parts, you're like, is that real? And you Google it. And all the stuff you think has got to be what she made up is the real stuff.
Ooh.
Yeah. Did you know that babe incubators for premature babies were originally a sideshow at Coney Island?
No.
It's true.
Okay.
I know. That's crazy. Okay. But they couldn't, the true bit of the story, the setup is that doctors knew that they would help and that they would work, but couldn't get funding because the hospitals and governments and whatever were like, I don't know about this. This sounds a little iffy. And then there was also like, because of the time period, it's also like, well, it's God's plan. You know, if the baby doesn't make it, who are we to play God with this machine that might, you know, whatever. That was a whole aspect of it. So they couldn't get funding. So they went to Coney Island or whoever ran that place. And they're like, hey, charge everybody a dime. They can walk through and see the babies like you do in a nursery in a hospital. And we will take the money and we'll keep the babies alive. And that is true. And they did that. And this, so that's your historical setup for the story of a nurse who is trying to.
It's so good. It's so good. I want to read that so bad. Like, thank God it's I'm really in a big good. City that has bookstores open till midnight. I'm going to go buy
books tonight. I would imagine that they have it. If they should have it, you should definitely, okay. Like, they should have it.
If not, you have it, and I can call you and you'll ship it to me.
I have it. We will ship it to you. I have even signed copies. We will get them to you.
Yes.
It's amazing. And my last one is not a new book. It came out in like 2016, but it's new to me this year. And that is Every Heart a Doorway by Seanan McGuire. It is a fantasy. It's again, I am a sucker for short books. I don't know if you caught on to that at the all these.
We have a rule. You have to be able to read something like in 1 month or else we can't pick it. So
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's the first in a series. Currently, the series, I think, has 7 books in it. And everybody was like, it's so good. It's so good. And I'm like, okay. And then I read the first one, and now I'm on the 5th one in the series. Like, I just, like, go through them because they're so right. It's, it has a feel of, like, Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children, if you know that story, or even the movie, where there are kids who need a place because they've been outcast due to things that have happened to them. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of start in this like home and you're learning each of their stories. And that's the first book. And then each book after that is one of their stories. So they go, yeah. So you're like, get to the third book and be like, oh, I remember them from the first book. Oh, they were my favorite in the first book. And now you're getting their actual, like, how did they get here? Story.
Yeah. Can you put up all of the books so I can just take pictures of them?
Yes. I can put up the stack. Hold on a second.
Perfect.
We will stack them up.
Because that, I used to read series all the time, and now I kind of stepped away from them. But I loved House on the Cerulean Sea by T.J. Clune. And that last book kind of sounds a little bit like that. So it feels like it's right up my alley.
It definitely has some like appeal. I agree. If you liked one, you'll probably like the other for sure. All right. That was my lightning round, little stack, my top three, and then my round three, my runner up three. So those are the ones.
Well, I love that. Like, you pick books that we've never read. Some of them of ours, you've never read. And it's just, and it's an exchange of great literature. And, you know, that means that we all get to read great books, and that's what we're all here for, y'all.
Yay. Well, everybody, if you have not listened to the Canterbury Tales podcast, you need to. I'm going to put the link to their website here in the comments. So you can go there, find out all about the podcast and how you can listen to it, download it, whatever it is that you use to listen to podcasts, you can do it there. Also has a link to their Instagram, which you should totally follow because they give great recommendations and things there. If it takes you a little while to have the time to listen to that episode, you might see it on the Instagram. So that is awesome. And I want to thank you both for joining me for Book Banter. It's been a lot of fun talking to y'all.
Thank you so much for having us. We loved meeting you at the Mississippi Books Festival. And then now that we get to do this, it's so much fun, full circle moment. So thank you for having us.
And I saw you're going to be at the Natchez Book Festival. Is that what it is?
Yeah. It's this literary and cinema celebration, February 22nd and 23rd, or the 23rd and the 24th in Natchez, Mississippi.
It's the Thursday and Friday after Mardi Gras Louisiana people.
Yes, I was about to say, I was like, that's right after Mardi Gras. But that's actually perfect because a lot of people in this area have that whole week off. So you get that day to recover after Mardi Gras, and then you could go to a literary festival. And this sounds actually perfect.
She's like, we planned.
Yeah, I was all like, what? Do I have any plans for the week of Mardi Gras? Other than Mardi Gras? Absolutely not. No one does. Why would I do that? but now I do. Natchez knows exactly what they're doing. So that's brilliant. All right, y'all. Thank you very much. And thanks, everybody, for watching. I see you, even though you didn't comment. Bye. Have a good night.
Bye. Thanks for having us.
Did you know that alcohol deliveries have actually been legal in Mississippi as of July 1st, 2021, with the passage of a new House bill?
So why are they just doing it now? Is it a local company or like a big box?
So Moonshine is a locally owned and operated in the Jackson area. They work with our local stores to bring you your favorite wine, liquor, and beer straight to your doorstep.
And how much do they have? Like, how much selection and variety do they have?
So they have over 3,000 products on their easy-to-use platform. You can order from their website or the mobile app.
Well, that's fantastic. Do you have your cart ready for a visit?
I am definitely. We can definitely have some fun adding some things to our cart. But yeah, so like alcohol deliveries in Mississippi are finally here. Born in Mississippi, Moonshine MS delivers your favorite drinks to your door. So head to moonshinems.com to learn more, or head to the App Store and download the Moonshine app to get your order in today. That's moonshinems.com, or follow them on social media at moonshinems and tell them the Decanterbury Tales girls sent you.
Bottoms up.
Stay weird.
Bye.